Greetings, peace and love. Welcome to the Entheogenic Midwife Podcast. I am Omalewa, and today I would like to introduce you to a powerful medicine woman that I was introduced to some years ago by the name of Sahir. Sahir, welcome.
Peace, everyone. Peace, peace, peace. Love you. Love you for life. I'm so happy that we have.
I know. So I met Sahir through a mutual friend of ours in the Detroit community, Maimuna, and I came to give you a massage, right?
Yeah, and we end up talking for about an hour and a half.
We did. So like instant family and friends, instant tribe, you know. So tell us about yourself.
I come from Detroit, of course. Born on the Detroit mud ground. Learned how to navigate through life. I've been in the military. I've been in the medical field. I did dialysis for 8 years. I was attempted nursing school, then the college for business. Playing ball most of my life. I say all that to say that it took me a long time to figure out who I wanted to be in life, right? So after trying all of that and still not being happy, at some point I began to grow. A California grower actually showed me how to grow. And, he told me then, he said, this is how you become the producer of your own good. And when he said it, I didn't get the concept at first, but it sat in my spirit. So the next time I seen him, I just asked him because I just couldn't figure out what he meant by that, right? And he said, I'm going to take you somewhere. And he took me to a place where he was growing, and it was like heaven to me. It's like just something opened up in me. And he said, build your room, and I'll show you how to grow. I had that room built in 2 weeks. So I've been a grower ever since then. And of course, I was born while I was in medical field. And I was seeing, God gave me true insight to see how medicine works against your organs, right? So I had some of the patients I grew close with, and I seen them suffering on the back end from the medicine that the doctors were giving them and everything. So I started to create products at home from the stuff that I was growing at home. And, with my patients and got really close, I would just get them products for free, and they were telling me how much the products helped, how they were able to get off the medicine, how they didn't need the medicine anymore. So it really inspired me. So in 2017, I wanted to get into the industry. I seen the laws changing. I just wanted to be a part of the legal system. I've seen so much growing up in an illegal way. I didn't want to be a part of that. In Detroit, we have so many options to be a part of, just build it in that way, and I wanted to not have that as an option, so I just dug into the legal lane. I got with a group, and now this group, we are a minority group who owns a growth facility, Michigan Agricultural Services. There's three principals, me, the CEO, and a chief legal counselor, which is his wife, but we now have two properties, one in Highland Park, one in all legal facilities. But in 2017, I decided to walk away from the dialysis and just start my own legal lane. Started a delivery service. I was on Weedmaps. I started making more products. I started growing more. I started teaching my friends how to grow. And we just built a strong community of networking and exchanging our products for the goodness. And from that, it's just been pouring in. Now I just focus on building Black wealth in our community, teaching as many people as I can how to grow, showing people how to invest in the marijuana industry and get a great return, showing people how to get jobs. We also started a staffing solution company that we're getting ready to open for people with felonies to expunge them so they have a chance to have the same opportunities as everybody else right now.
That's amazing. Those are some major accomplishments and achievements.
Yeah,
I'm proud of
I
you.
working. Okay. And you know, I always say I'm just letting God like use me and guide our people back to Black wealth and more opportunities to be involved in something legal that can really open up doors for us, heal for us, and become normalized because it deserves the platform of normalization.
Absolutely. What would you say is your specialty in all of the work that you do? And there's probably many, but if you could pick one.
I was about to say, yeah. you know what? I genuinely enjoy growing with everything that's going on now because I'm such in a business right now. Like, I'm consulting deals, and I mean million-dollar deals. And I don't grow as much as I used to, and I miss that part.
Okay.
But I'm building, you know, we're in the middle of building a growth facility. So I'll be back to it in about a year. But I genuinely miss watching those plants go from baby to those big, beautiful birds that I break down in the blood and smoke. And like, wow, I did that, and that feels good. And then you process it into other things like edibles and tinctures that help people. I have a lot of women who have high anxiety, especially now that the kids are being homeschooled. Tinctures are my top sellers, and it's a pride that actually comes from something that me or, you know, somebody in my community groomed in their garden with care. I miss the grown part of it. You know, I've got into the business lane now, but I miss the grown part of it.
Yes. I don't know if you know that I was a cannabis grower for 3.5 years.
You told me. I remember. That's why we talked for so long. I was like, what?
Yes.
Another woman? Because it's not enough women doing this. I'll be in this lane, and I see males everywhere. I'll be like, y'all not even the best growers. I ain't trying to judge y'all, but I know the care that women put into this.
Yes, and the love and the nurturing, and with the cannabis being a divine, sacred, feminine plant.
And
some men are brilliant growers, you know, but it's still sometimes the deeper connection that needs to be made, you know.
Let's get down to the science of it. What do male plants do when they come in the room with female plants? They can't produce with it. You seed it all up, and then we need a part of it. You're messing up the environment. You got to separate. Don't even know how to act. You're popping off, pollinating the whole situation, and we don't even need everything to pollinate. Hold on. Male plants. Got to put them in a controlled environment, even in real life. It's so good over there.
Isn't that something?
It is.
Yes. So with cultivation and cannabis being sacred plant medicine, during that time that I was cultivating, I started using psilocybin. And after using psilocybin, it was like I could hear my plants. I could feel them, like the communication window like opened. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, and around the same time, also, I tapped into community gardening, you know. So my point is, when you cultivate your own medicine and your own food, the magic and the divinity that takes place, could you expound on that?
Yes. Like just going back to you being able to produce and create something, right? It's creation that is best. You don't. Other than children, you know, and like entrepreneurs, I know they value it, but, you know, just growing a plant that you can actually physically put in your body and feel the goodness that you put into growing, watching it just mature, tending to it when it wasn't feeling good, or just looking at it when it was at its happiest state and knowing that you did that, that the energy that comes from within you made it possible for that plant to be created, taken care of, grown, and then put back into your body as good energy. It's a beautiful process.
So powerful, so divine, you know, and that goes with the term entheogens, generating the God within, you know, and I found that it's through those processes of cultivation and nurturing and, you know, that you feel that godly energy of creation.
You do. True. I'm telling you, it literally changed my life. You get what I'm saying? To see that I could create something so powerful and that it feels so good in your body, right? It started making me look at myself more in depth. Like, you did that. You put that together. You made it better. You know, each cycle, each year, I got better as a grower. You know what I'm saying? I love.
Absolutely. I know my thoughts, but could you talk about cannabis as a spiritual practice or, you know, self-care, self-love practice?
You know, cannabis is my best friend. I can't say anything bad about it. Even, you know, during my most powerful spiritual journeys, cannabis has assisted me in just, it gives me a connection and a flow that I just don't get to experience. It gives me a self-grounding mechanism that, you know what I'm saying, I probably need to work on more within myself, but it assists, you get what I'm saying? It sits me down and it gives me access to go through my thoughts more slowly and responsibly and build in a very creative, godly way. It gives me stillness. It gives me silence when I need it. And then it gives me therapy when I can grow it. Because the therapy and growing shows just the power within and how you can produce something. And like I said, just put it back into your body. So for me, even when I'm using, I'm sorry, give me the correct terminology, psilocybin, or correct me. But even during those journeys, my last journey, I used cannabis to assist, and usually I don't. And I realized how at the peak of that moment that cannabis helped me to get back grounded into myself. You get what I'm saying? Because sometimes those peaks can be like, whoa, right? And then because you still want to feel yourself. Cannabis definitely helped me just ground myself and become even more clear in that moment. And I was trying to stay away from it. I like doing one or the other, so it was good to integrate those. But it really has showed me the true God power within myself, because I've been able to not create just plants, but create opportunities for my community, create more revenue for my family, create more opportunities financially to invest for the community. And more jobs, and even access to a lawyer that will expunge charges that you shouldn't have been charged for in the first place.
Now that's God as shit right there.
Yeah. So it just opened up not just one level of it, but I've been able to produce so much from cannabis, so much from the plant to just endless opportunities.
Yes, and I want to say the act of breathing. With smoking, sometimes that's the only time many actually sit down, relax, and take purposeful deep breaths, you know. So even in that, there's the grounding and the clarity and the purification and detoxification of the body that takes place, you know.
Yeah, and all the tension that we hold. You know what I'm saying? We don't intend to hold all the tension in our body like we do, but it definitely gives you a relief to just relax out of that tension state that we might not just know how to take ourselves out of.
Yes. Now also, you know, I'm like, psilocybin is sacred, you know, and I'm learning and growing more in the beginning, but I did want to keep them separate. I'm like, I didn't know I was the only person who felt that way.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's such a sacred thing in itself. You want to explore it fully in itself. You know, and I've had enough journeys. Like, I've had enough journeys in the past, but I'm telling you, I'm like, you know, four or five journeys in, and I'm just now adding cannabis. So it took me a few to even find my balance through using it as, in a sacred way, but just respecting it in itself. Yes. And now, you know, combining and integrating the two, I can tell you why I enjoy it. I enjoy it. But after my last journey, I have not been able to indulge in cannabis as much. Really? I can say that. It recalibrated me differently. And I know going into a journey, it always kind of like recalibrates you in some way. Yeah. It recalibrated my cannabis intake somehow, some way. I haven't figured it out yet. But I'm not able to intake as much, which is cool because, you know, I'm so busy anyway. But, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm a smoker, okay? I ain't been no smoker since that last journey.
Wow. I journeyed one time and I had, you know, rolled a blunt prior to or whatever, and I had put it in a drawer. So I was in my ceremony and everything was doing its thing. And after a while, maybe a little more towards the end, I was like, I got that blunt in there. So I went in there, I got it, I smoked it, and Sahir, the top of my head like opened.
Yeah, it was a tingle.
It was like a beam of light cracked through the top of my head into the sky. Like the divine just opened itself up through my crown. And it was like I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and it was like the floor, it was dark. It turned into a village. And it was like I was this elder woman in her 70s or 80s smoking. And it was like the smoke that I was blowing was blessing and healing and cleansing the village.
Yes, I love it.
So I was grateful for that experience. I'm like, I could be channeling one of my ancestors when I'm smoking, you know, myself in a past life, you know?
We are. And that was my last journey. It was very ancestral. it was the biggest ancestral journey that I've had. And you got me thinking, like, maybe it was the cannabis. But and just like your experience, I have this night sky app that I, you know, I look into the stars and the planets, and I like to identify, like, what's out. And it took me outside. I was still up by the lake, and I just was in the app, just looking up in the sky, like, of what planets were aligned with the house and what location we were at. It got deep, right? And then spirit started to reveal different things about the ancestors, and a few ancestors even popped up, not even just mine. So it was a powerful space because I was there with other women at a retreat. I wish you were here. I would invite you to this retreat at the end of the month. we would need your expertise. But it was beautiful, and it was a very deep ancestral journey, one of the deepest that I've had. So I'm taking notes on cannabis with that one. Like, oh, hello, ancestors.
Yes, they do. I find they do complement each other well.
Yeah.
What would you recommend for other individuals that are in the cannabis industry? Like ways they could better take care of themselves, doing the work that you do, be it the legal perspective, computer hours, physical work, anything that you as a medicine woman and dope businesswoman, what would you recommend?
I know a lot of people who are wanting to get into the industry some way, somehow. And just like them, I had those fearful moments of not knowing how to do things or not knowing who to call to get the answers to certain things. Remove fear out the way and just do it. It's so needed in the industry that we're very involved and that we know how to use our resources. I make myself, you see, I'm on Facebook. I might not read everybody, their Facebook post, but I make sure, you know, I try and be active on Facebook and available. For people who have questions and need direction or need better resources of getting into the industry. We need you. We need more growers. We need more tech people. We need all positions. There are, just like in the regular business industry, the cannabis industry is the same. We need those exact same positions. You get what I'm saying? They just look different, but we need so many different expertise here to just make it whole, to make it a bigger movement. It's not just about growing. It's not just about investment. You get what I'm saying? We need, you know, every position that you can think of. So I want people to be involved. I don't want people to be fearful and think, oh, just because I don't know this, I can't be involved. And then I encourage people just to be growers, because being a grower does teach you how the industry can grow just from a plant. And that's like the base knowledge. But if you're not a big grower, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? We still need the tech people. We still need the elders, and we still need the, you know, the support of everybody. So I encourage people to get into it. I encourage people not to use medicines that will damage your organ in the future. We make CBD products, and we also make THC products. So, you know, it's endless the way this healing goes, from growing to using it for your body. So don't be discouraged in any way. If you need more information, you know, I'm available. I'll make sure I'll make sure that you have all of my information so you can make it available to everyone. You get what I'm saying? Because I feel like resources are important.
You can put it out there right now.
Yeah, so my Facebook is Shahir Al-Salam, and my business phone number is 313-348-2690. You can text or call. My email is shahir@michiganagricultural.com. Let me check that email because we just got new emails. But if not, I'll make sure I make an email available on my Facebook. And if you guys want to reach me, send a message, instant message. I'm 313_Shahir@IG, on IG. So just try and reach me however you can, but if not, get in touch with this woman, because she always knows how to reach me, and I always respond.
Great. There's like a really big movement happening with women in cannabis. Or maybe even Black women in cannabis. Could you share about that? Just maybe some of the people you know, some of the major projects that they're working on, more about the movement.
Oh, yeah. Like, just starting with my immediate circle, because we're very involved. Our chief legal counsel, Christina Michelle Stockdale, she's rewritten the statute in Inkster and Highland Park to support us, to make sure that they're leaving room for minority investors at a small level, so single moms can invest and still see a return. We're doing expungements in the city of Inkster, Detroit, and Highland Park, because we will be having facilities and or businesses in those cities. So we want to make sure that we're giving everybody an equal opportunity to be involved. So a lot of the smugness that will be done will be at minimum cost. And what I mean minimum cost, people will pretty much be paying for their paperwork and not the labor. We're, as a minority growth facility, we're involved right now. I can't name the big company, but they're a really big company. But we're in negotiations for a $2.5-3 million deal. And this will build our growth facility from the ground up. So this month we will be going to visit their first growth facility that they have invested into Michigan. And we hopefully will be the second. But this big company has done 40 growth facilities before us. So they come with a lot of experience. They're going to teach us a lot. And hopefully the deal goes through.
Well, congratulations on your new business deal. It's already done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're just working out the details. So that's just the immediate circle. Margot Bruner, you know, she works in policy. She makes sure that the law supports things like social equity and things like that. She does a lot of good movement. And I just know a lot of good guys with a lot of good brands here in Michigan that just work together. We have a lot of groups that we formed just with minority license holders. And we all support each other and report back to Detroit to give them better language. on writing up laws to support us. Because as we know in Detroit, you know, the license holder percentage does not support us. Everybody holds a license literally stays outside of Detroit. You get what I'm saying? And they're not putting enough into the Detroit system to support our community. So we're fighting against that right now.
Arabic community that pretty much runs most of the dispensaries in Detroit?
The Arabic and white community, yes.
Okay.
Yep. They getting first dibs. They got the capital. You get what I'm saying? The social equity that they put out is really not helping us because it doesn't create financial capital just to support us. So we're just working on all that language. And like I said, like, we need more minority investors, big investors, because we got the resources, we got the opportunities, we have the licenses, we have the lawyers, we have the people that rewrite the laws, the policy pushers, you know what I'm saying, all of this, but we need more capital funding to compete and to have a bigger opportunity and a bigger stake in this industry.
Yes, wow. Well, I see you travel quite a bit. I know traveling is your thing.
That's therapy.
You have an amazing partner as well. So just wanted you to share some of those tools with us that you find to, you know, assist you on your journey of self, healing self and others and expanding that to your community.
Oh, yeah. Well, traveling, like I said, is a part of my therapy. I work so much here in Detroit. All of what I just told you guys, you can just imagine how busy I am all day. And doing God's work, you know, I allow God to use me. So I take the rest that I need by just going on vacation mm-hmm. and taking that time away so I can come back and rebuild and just, you know, just take that breath by myself. My partner, she's wonderful. She's very supportive, especially like with my career. She's actually helped me a lot. And her promotion for the tincture and just her story of being on anxiety meds herself, going through what we all go through, depression states, instead of using the medicine that will damage her organs, you know, down the line. She started to use the tincture and started to use her story as a testimony. And from that, I was able to gain a big following of, you know, useful ways to use tinctures versus anxiety medicine and stuff like that. And she also gained the clarity to just drop two books. She dropped two books in 2 years. She's an organizer for Mother of Justice, so she does policy work also for Black mothers. So it's a beautiful environment to just be in and be respected as an entrepreneur because she's also an entrepreneur herself. So, you know, we keep a schedule in the house. We try and make time for each other as much as possible. And as you see, we take vacations together also because it's mandatory that we travel and just have certain experiences with ourselves and the kids. So can't complain, you know. I'm living the life that I always pray for, and that's why now more than ever I allow God to use me. That's why I make myself available, and I try and give away as much information as I can to spread the word on what's really happening here, how big our movement is, and how much more support we can use from people.
Mm-hmm. That makes me, that leads me to the youth. Right? And the children in your family, in your community, and cannabis. You know, we had the DARE program back when we were in school. You had the DARE program?
Yeah.
So all those things back in the day, the war on drugs, that whole piece. And it's like now we find that these healing plants are ancestral for us. You know, they're therapy for us, spiritual work, self-care, self-love, and all those things. So it's like, how do you think the children view the work that you do or understanding or maybe even wanting to learn to cultivate?
You know, I'm very honest about with my kids about my work. I got two of them that, you know, I know want to be entrepreneurs because of, you know, things that they express. So I take a lot of entrepreneur lessons out to teach them. A lot of moments we talk about how money works, how the world works a lot. It just gave me a better insight of how to raise my kids. They don't too much, you know what I'm saying, they don't work in a garden or anything, but I'll have them do, like, cleanup, taking trash out, the after cleanup, wiping the walls down, just kind of teaching them the method that I take of just working for myself and that it's not easy. My uncle told me when I walked away from my job that it was going to be 20 times harder to work for myself. He was like, you can't call off to yourself. And I didn't know what that meant until I got to working 12-hour days for myself. So just even communicating with them how hard I work, what I'm doing all day, right? The benefits of how it works on the health level, you get what I'm saying? We have those talks that it's not just a thing that you break down in blunts and smoke. We talk about different products. We talk about what different products are used for. And CBD is used in my household. I'm making a new CBD water that is a pH level 11 only, right? So using that in the household to raise the vibration, stuff like that, and, you know, just being honest about the usefulness of it and everything. So that and, you know, I have a strong community of friends. My friends are like family, so at least four of my friends, I've taught them how to grow, and two of them work for me full-time. And one of them is just a master grower at this point. So I take pride in just teaching my people what I know. I don't hold back. I pour in everything that I know on all levels so they can be inspired that this is a beneficial lane. They're not scared because of the old law, but knowing the new law and talking about the law. You know, people don't know the law. That's what I found out in our community. People just don't know the law. So just having more conversations about the law and how it supports you and what to do and what not to do. I have that conversation with the kids and my co-community. So things like that. I don't hold back. I pour out everything I tell you I do for myself. I pour into everybody else because I don't hold the information.
Yeah, you definitely got it like that. They talk about the big container, folks. You're definitely big spirited, big container. To be able to hold and pour and be that vessel. I love that about you.
Thank you, thank you. You know, all thanks to Allah. And, you know what I'm saying, God for just guiding me. And just me for even getting on my way to allow that. You know, my daily prayer is that I be guided to the right people, places, and spaces. And that I be protected along the way. And that I can also get myself out the way. Because I know I'm still working on myself. I know I'm still learning. I know I'm still doing. But the more I get myself out of the way, the more that I allow God to teach me and guide me. And that in 2020 has been my biggest tool.
Yes. Wonderful. I want to ask about, like, what's happening with the people who are incarcerated with felonies that are for nonviolent crimes, you know, due to cannabis possession or distribution? What's happening in that world?
Specifically, I don't know because I'm not a lawyer, but just seeing how my lawyer works, you know, a lot of cases they're reviewing and throwing out because the law is changing. So I don't really know how the process works, but we do have a lawyer available for questions. And guide us through that process because it's available.
Okay, good, good. So just, you know, just throwing that out there for people who have family, everybody's not aware, may not have a certain level of, you know, education or what have you, so that they can reach and get the tools.
I'll make sure that let me add that to a list. We'll do a video on that. I'll make sure me and Christina do a video on that and release it on Facebook just to give people a little more insight on how the process works.
All right. Wonderful. Well, you want to tell us about anything you may have coming up that you want people to know? I know you mentioned an event at the end of the month.
Well, I during my last journey, I went to study up under my shamans that I had been studying up under. I did a mindful class with them. I did a shadow work class with them. So they invited me out to a retreat to work with them. It's called Shadow Intense Retreat, like an ultimate soul experience. And it was life-changing. I literally seen people come back into themselves within a matter of 3 days. And we started off with 3 women, and it was just such an intense relief, such a powerful space to be free. And what I learned is that we are in the world all day, and the world has so much judgment and so much heaviness that we don't allow ourselves to be free. So this was a space that we could be free in, that we could heal in, be honest in, and make space for each other in. And it was life-changing for 6 women in that space. So, you know, we're just going so people can, you know, right now it's like seasonal depression going on. 2020 has brought a lot of confusion and death to people, so people are questioning who they are. They're carrying a lot of energy that's not theirs, so it's causing them to be heavy or confused or feel outside of themselves. This retreat is for all of those people, which is pretty much everybody right now, you know, to get back to themselves, to find themselves in a healthy way and to learn how to heal yourself in a healthy way and get through that. Not carry the anxiety in your body, not carry the frustration and heaviness in your body that a lot of people are experiencing right now.
Now, we definitely need that. You know, everybody definitely needs that. I'm glad you're a part of that to offer your gifts. And
yep, it's on some ancestral land, 150 acres. And we specifically do that because of the experience that we had. It's a very heavy ancestral land owned by a black man. It's called Medisage. They have 2 locations, one in South Carolina.
We did a retreat in Medisage, me and Baba.
Hello? Yes, hello. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. You went.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It's right across the border from, I can't remember the name of the city.
Yep, I know. Right there. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the retreat, though, and, you know, I hope, you know, everybody just takes that chance on themselves and invest in themselves, you know what I'm saying, and want your soul. Like, what I've learned is we have so much soul loss, a lot of people don't even know what that full soul experience feels like to be complete in your body and to be whole. So we're just trying to give that back to the world so people can learn how to show their friends and heal their families and watch over their kids correctly and all that good stuff. So, yep.
I love it. So if someone wants to attend or find out information, what do they need to do?
They can contact me, you know, and I make sure I direct them to where we're booking everybody at. So, again, that's 313-348-2690. Or you can reach me on Facebook Messenger. Request me as a friend on Facebook. I'll make sure. I just recently said I just need to open my page. I'll make sure I do that today. but I make sure I open my page so I don't need to have to send a Facebook request. So we'll make it happen.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being a part of this podcast and just the movement. Thank you.
Thank you.
And sharing your spiritual gifts. And again, all that you are, all that you do. Like, isn't it exciting?
Man, it's a pure joy.
Ain't it so
it's dope. A pure joy. It's a pure joy. I got it. I'm so cool. You know what I'm saying? Most days I'm telling myself, like, man, they didn't download me with the words for this. That's how I know it's such a multi-dimensional, this full experience.
Yes, I'm honored to be a part of it. I'm honored to know you, you know.
Like, oh, same here.
We instantly clicked. You know, listen, work, all of that, you know, it's just confirmation that we're on the right path.
We are. And I thank you, you know what I'm saying, for just inviting me and starting me on my journey. I started my journey with the knowledge that you gave me, and it's grown me so much. So it's an honor to even, you know what I'm saying, that's why I'm always answering when you call, always.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you and enjoy the rest of your day and have a great weekend.
I love you too, and thank you. And thank you to everybody who's listening. You know, honor yourself. Be good to yourself.
Ashe.
Peace.